get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this show is about Gregory's journey in the spirit world. Now, I know Gregory has spoken before about when he actually passed and went to the spirit world. Excuse me, I'm going to cough again. But we're going to go over a few more things today. Excuse me, the energy's a bit strong. Anyway, I'm going to ask Spirit to step back a bit, and Dick's going to take it away.
I was just going to say, because that's actually what happens, is that as Spirit are getting closer and closer, Sylvie loses her voice, and I fall into total disrepair, because that's them just coming really close. Anyway, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 4 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, all the other things that we have to offer, services, Akashic readings, please do go and visit our websites, which are spirit-teaching.com and www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence, and when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. Sylvie's got an attack of the giggles now. Anyway, and I'm not going to know anything about anything at all that happens during this show, because my spirit and consciousness are transported to somewhere else other than here. And like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, and I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It should only take a few seconds, though, before Gregory is here, and Sylvie is going to be looking after you and the mechanism for the show. That's the mechanism of the vortex that enables the spirit world to come close and, well, to actually use my physical body in this way and do this kind of work. It's pretty rare, even though I say so myself, just because that's the way it is. There's not many of us doing it now in the traditional sense. Anyway, there you go. So, God bless, okay. And have a nice day.
Actually, I don't think there's any other trance medium that works like we do anyway, in this partnership. Gregory, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're probably right, actually.
Well, anyway, Mick's going to go off now, and I'd just like to tell you a little bit about Gregory, who had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. But now he comes to share his wisdom for us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. Now then, although we're going to be talking about Gregory and his journey tonight, we invite you to phone in with a question for Gregory. We'd like you to stay on topic It's not readings tonight. The phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Oh, hello?
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 Hello? Is that...
Hello? Hello, I'm calling about my mother. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. I think you've got the wrong show, actually. Is it a reading you want?
Yes.
I think you've got the wrong show, my darling. If you go back to the studio, or phone again, put the phone down and phone back in, okay? And say it's not the Spirits Work show that you want.
Do you contact the other side?
No, not on this show, no. Okay? If you go back to the station, all right, put the phone down and go back to the station and try again, all right, and say it's the other program that you want. Okay. Oh, baby. Okay, well, anyway, hello, Gregory.
Greetings, my dear Faith. With love and light, my dear Faith.
Thank you. So, yes, well, tonight, I mean, we've touched on what happened to you when you went to the spirit world many times on the... Sometimes on a specific show, other times just occasional little trips down memory lane for you. But we do get a lot of people asking for this sort of interaction with you again.
Yes.
The knowledge that you... They want to know what happened to you, basically, when you passed to the other side of life. And because it is always so fascinating for us.
Yes, very well.
So could you tell us what happened.
Yes, well, of course, for those who do not know, at the point of my passing, I was decapitated and lost my right hand, and because that was how the wheels passed over me and how I passed. The situation was that I remember quite distinctly that I was observing the situation, and I was actually looking at the coach as it continued on its merry way. It was a very wet night. It was raining profusely. And the situation was that I remember seeing it as it disappeared into the murky darkness. And the view that I had was of the remains of my physical state, which were, in a sense, littered upon the roadway, but to one side of it. Although my head, as I understand, was actually in the middle of the roadway, it was my physical body, which had actually been thrown slightly to the side. And my right hand also was precariously balanced upon the top of a rut in the middle of the road.
That's very vivid, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, that really is vivid.
Well, yes. I can tell you, my dear friend, that every single one of us on our side of life can remember exactly the moment of passing and can remember exactly what we looked like as we looked upon that which was the physical state. Of course, that's just a memory. But the point to remember, however, is that well, for me and my own personal journey, it was really the next hours and minutes, the next days even, which appeared to pass as I was aware of time passing in the physical world, even though I was still spirit, in that I remained in the spirit world, but in a sense both completely aware of the physical journey as well. And as I continued to hover at my distance from my physical state, I remember seeing actually an animal, I think it was a fox or perhaps it was a dog, that actually came up and took my hand away and ate it. I also remember seeing and admiring the fact that of the auric field of the trees. As I saw the sun rise the following morning, as it wasn't raining then, and that as it rose the following morning, I actually saw for the first time the auric field of trees. Because it became quite vivid to me as I looked above the trees and to the west and saw, to the east and saw the sun as it rose. And I looked to the west and I saw the reflection of the sun rising in the aura of other trees, almost a sort of a halo effect, I suppose. I think that that was partly due to the moisture in the air. But the point was that it seemed to mirror the effect.
Have some different kinds of trees got different coloured auras?
Well, yes, they appear to be slightly different. I understand, for example, that in the months of November, which was when I passed, in fact, that actually the situation remains that those deciduous trees, of which there are many at that time, become quite sullen and closed down, in a sense. So many aspects of those trees have, their auric field has been greatly reduced. It's still present, because it's still a live being, but it has, in a sense, gone to sleep. So it really means to say that its auric field is quite changed. It's not as vibrant as it is when it has leaves upon it.
So is it not only vibrant when it has leaves upon it, but does it stretch further?
Yes, absolutely. It stretches further because of the energy conduit within the actual fabric of the tree itself and the way in which that energy is transferred throughout its well-being, I suppose. That is, of course, it is a well tree.
And obviously you can see if it's not a well tree from your side of life by being able to view the aura.
Yes, absolutely so. So, for example, if the tree is diseased in some places or is responding to some kind of attack, perhaps by a virus or an insect or something like that, it will actually correspond with the vibration and with the auric field that is surrounding it.
Mm-hmm. And so what colour is a tree's aura?
It has a slight hazy pink appearance, tinged with blue. As many things do, in fact. It is also has a distinct dusty yellow to it as well. And actually, incidentally, when it has disease or something like that, the yellow about it turns to brown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually quite easy to see.
Amazing. Okay. Carry on.
Thank you. So I remember then that I was thinking at the time, yes, I still had thought, and I was observing, yet my head was not present. That was, in a sense, a strange anomaly to me, because I could see my head as it lay there on the floor, and yet I was whole. And I actually remember having the sense and the feeling of my actual physical state, in a sense, but non-physical. I could put my hand, as I viewed it and remembered it, and actually pass it through my arm, if I wished.
Mm-hmm.
If I had my conscious mind and thoughts, and I realized that if I actually thought that it was solid, then it wouldn't pass through my hand or my arm.
You had all of those thoughts, even in those few early moments?
Well, I was so enamored by the fact that I was above my physical body, I suppose, that I was immediately...
How far above?
Some 20 or 30 feet, I do believe.
But that's quite a long way, isn't it? And
yes.
you could see your head and hand in quite detail.
Oh, in absolute detail. It was quite strange. It was almost as though I was some distance away and yet very close.
As if you had sort of strong glasses on or something that enabled you to see it. Brought it closer to you.
Yes, but more than that, it was as though I was able to be both far away and close at the same time. I could actually see it far away, and then in a moment, I was close to it and could feel it as close as I am viewing our dear friend's hand here.
Just in front of the face?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, what I did was I was, of course, marveling at these different situations of my mind, because it hasn't been that well of a mind previously in my physical life. So I was actually honoring, in fact, this newfound ability of mine, almost in an instant of my passing, as it were. I remember, though, however, that I just felt as though, however, that I didn't have any momentum. I didn't feel like I could actually go anywhere at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand why that was. However, I watched the roadway as a whole day passed, and I observed the situation. It appeared to be quite a quiet road for a main highway of that time. Of course, 1723, roads weren't very busy then, and the situation appeared to be that there was even a couple who actually was walking, and the woman was walking behind the man. She was carrying some vegetables and that kind of thing. Onions, I believe they were, knots of onions. Mm-hmm. And she was also carrying a large bucket with and had a top upon it. And the man was carrying an axe and another bag, which seemed to be holding some food or other. And that they were walking along the road, but they were walking along the road on the opposite side of the road to where my body lay. And they just walked straight past.
Oh, dear.
They never saw it. Of course, now, the ruts were actually quite deep. And so I suppose I could have forgiven them. I was almost tempted to shout at them. But in a sense, I didn't feel that anything would come out. I don't know why I felt that, but I just felt that I was unattached to it. And it didn't really matter anyway. So what I then did was, I remember thinking, well, what is it that I would like to do now? What would I like to do most? And it appeared to be some time later, another day had actually passed.
And nobody had found your body yet?
Well, no, they had not. And I believe it was actually on the second day that somebody actually noticed the remains that were there. And that they went and ran off in the opposite direction, the direction, in fact, from whence they had come.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was probably toward Norwich, mm-hmm. The city of Norwich, and that they ran back down the road and disappeared in the distance. And then it was, in fact, that the following morning three people came along the roadway with a horse and cart.
Mm-hmm.
And they recovered the remains of my physical state. And I remember thinking at that time, oh, do be careful with it, as they actually picked up the rather gruesome-looking remains that were there.
How far away was this from your home, where your father was?
Oh, it was approximately some 8 miles, I believe.
Right. Okay.
Yes, I had only really, I suppose, not long left the Red Lion, a favorite haunt of mine, in the next village. Mm-hmm. And that, in actual fact, it was really, I believe, from that village that the next people came, and that they knew of who I was, and that they then took me on my body, my physical body remains, onto the village of Swaffham itself.
Have you ever met any of these people since, the spirit world?
No, I haven't really.
No.
So the situation then was that I remember thinking very brightly about my mother and the vibration of her ways, if you will. And the situation was that she materialized right before me.
And you hadn't seen her since you were three?
and I hadn't seen her since I was 3.
So did she materialize for you the age she would have been when she passed? Or
yes, she was quite young.
Okay.
In fact, yes.
Right.
Yes, and didn't appear to have changed a bit. She died of a form of consumption, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she hadn't actually really changed one bit. And that it appeared to be that she was remembering me and I was remembering her just in the same way as we had when we last had, when I had last said goodnight to her. And that actually was upon her passing. In the, I wouldn't call it a hospital.
No, right. Right, okay.
But in the place where she was.
Right, in a medical area somewhere.
Yes, barely medical, yes.
Mm.
Yes, it was all quite gruesome at that time of life.
Yes, well, you were lucky to survive childbirth, I think, a lot of the time.
Yes, I believe so.
But, so did you hug with this new non-physical body of yours?
Yes, absolutely so. In fact, she hugged me, and that was my first understanding of much more of my reality, if you will. The relationship of my spirit and my physical state. It was something far beyond that which I had even possibly perceived in a physical life. I thought, well, what do I do now? So, and I, as I was thinking thoughts, she was answering me straight in my mind. It was as though we were talking, but we didn't have to move our mouths.
And that's exactly how it is now.
And that's exactly how it is now, yes. It's quite a strange situation, having once again to use those in the spirit world who are well-versed in such matters to actually be able to once again operate muscles and that kind of thing, which they do so on my behalf. Which I know may sound as a bit of a strange and convoluted way of doing it. But someone has to do it. Because it requires a great deal of energy and concentration to be able to use the mechanism that we have here in order to actually be able to make this a possibility.
We'll talk about this as well 1 week.
Yeah.
How all this comes about. People hear us every week. And,
yes.
Because it's made to seem so easy.
Yes.
You know, I think
yes,
we forget of all the work that's gone into it. But anyway, if anybody is listening and is interested in anything that Gregory is saying and wants to ask him in a little more detail or even another question about passing to the other side, do give us a call. It's toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
You see, now I know that for many, they may have the belief system within them that they feel that those in the spirit world are non-reactionary or perhaps have a very lapsed sense of emotion. Perhaps some even feel that no emotion can exist possibly in the spirit world at all because that is only the domain of the physical life. There are also, of course, many who believe that the situation of the spirit world could not possibly interact with the physical state of life quite simply because of the lack of energy or the lack of ability to produce energy or coerce energy in a sheer or an attractive fashion. I do understand the reasonings of which religious of to why these must be articles of faith, or why these must be beliefs, in fact, instrumented into the minds of those who are listening at this time. Quite simply, it is because the avatars, or whoever it has been, the ascended beings who have told them of life thus far in the spirit world, have actually painted a far different picture due to the fact of their noble status, no doubt, but also due to the fact of their heavily responsible standing within their own religious concept and their own minds and their own free will and duty towards that religious concept usually far outweighs their own spirit's journey or the very fact of their contact with the rest of the spirit world. So it actually can be that many people in our side of life who are religiously connected actually do not see a great deal of the spirit world that actually exists, quite simply because their thoughts and formats, their minds and their illumination of their spirit journey and their physical journey when they had it were actually of such a state that they precursored their journey by their religious attrition and their limited scope to be able to accept something outside of their own concept.
They boundaries around their thoughts.
Yes. Quite so.
And ideas about what is, and they still do that in the spirit world.
Absolutely so. Now, my journey, myself, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, but I didn't actually, I wasn't that much of a devout person in that respect. So I suppose you could say that I actually moved away from Catholicism almost immediately. I never even thought of the Virgin Mary or Jesus or anyone, actually, at the point of my passing. I just gloried in the beauty of the trees that I saw.
And your mother was Roman Catholic?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was French as well.
And but that didn't stint her progression?
No, indeed not. Although she has progressed in a different way, her leanings and her understanding of her own journey and her continuing creation cycle, if you like, within the spirit world, is something that is peculiar to her and the things that she loves to do. She is a person who is a weaver, and so she continues to weave. She loves to do that.
What does she weave?
Pictures, mainly. She weaves pictures of animals. Some of her tapestries are hanging in the halls of learning, of which she is a part.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
We just can't imagine that. We just can't imagine it. I don't care how many times I've heard you say it.
Well, you see,
it's incredible, really.
The point is that so many people duck the idea or cannot conceive of the idea that the situation in the spirit world is revealed in that so many are able to continue with the efforts of their physical life or those that they had in physical life as a fully conscious state. They're still able to love, still able to dream and dress themselves if they want to. They can have a physical body if they want to, like I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you have to do.
No, but you have to do that as well a lot of the time because you're trying to help people from this side of life when they pass to that side of life and all the other things that you do with these people.
Yes.
It would be a little disconcerting at that time to not have a body.
Well, yes, quite so. And being as such that we have such a lot to do, as you say, physically, we have to address certain situations. So obviously, psychologically, we want to keep the person, the client, if you like, in a safe and comfortable way.
At home.
Yes, quite.
What
so.
About when you deal with the higher echelons, shall we say, the more, I'm not going to say ascended masters or anything like that, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yes, I do.
With the more...
The many beings, the many hundreds and thousands of beings who have purposely perhaps evolved in their physical life, it may well have been that they have actually transcended many of the dizzying steps that were acquired by more lowlier folk, and that they have actually managed to transcend much of the more grosser physical states. But of course, they will still communicate, and I communicate with them readily in a regular basis way, because, of course, if you have a being who actually purports to be in a state of bliss, then that is all very well. If you have someone, on the other hand, who is apparently in a state of enlightenment, then the chances are that they would actually have almost blended back into that which is God, or the creator of all life, which exists in every dimension.
Yes, so... You deal with with that, shall we say, and I know we don't like levels either, but there's no other way of us trying to describe this, that you deal on the higher levels of these evolved beings as well. It is your choice.
Yes.
I mean, you could dwell there quite easily, couldn't you? And you it's not necessary for you to do this, to deal with matters of the earth plane. It's your choice, isn't it?
It is completely my choice,
okay,
and it is my desire as being of service to humanity.
Exactly. So
as it is for so many.
My question is, do you bother with clothes and a body when you are in that vibration?
Well, sometimes I don't, I have to admit. Sometimes I am just of the energy that I am. Because that form and state of being is something which is quite normal to me, in just as normality as the extent of my physical state. And if, of course, I wish that to be present, then it will be present. It's just something that I will of myself, and there it is.
Okay. Hello, have we got a caller?
Hi.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a question.
Thank you.
It's kind of a two-in-one question. Can a person split into two bodies because of trauma, and then one body passes from suicide? Can the other body remember the suicide? The other mind remember the suicide?
Well, I have to say, my dear friend, it is not a normal situation that you described there. I would have to say that generally and normally it would be that a spirit goes through whatever that physical body goes through. And it's a matter of the physical life decision that person makes. So the actual spirit of someone, you, for example, would not be the spirit of your twin. Your twin would be a different being. And so that would be that kind of situation. If it were a situation in some other form of relationship of DNA or physical state that you had been involved in, you would still be different spirits.
I see.
Do you understand?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What's your name?
My name is Susan.
Susan.
Hello,
Susan. Does that answer your question, or
yeah,
is there something else?
I think that does answer. In other words, it's possible that can happen, but I just wanted to know whether it would be helpful for me to remember, for the person to remember the suicide of the twin, or to make peace with oneself.
Yes.
Thank you
very much. Yes, well, the point is, my dear friend, if your twin had been a person who was of the same soul group, and usually I have to say that twins who are actual twins and born at the same time or near enough at the same time, they can be conjoined twins, they may not be joined at all, they may actually be separate entities, but still the chances are the situation that you will have two people who are very similar and joined in a certain way, spirit to spirit, quite simply because they're two different people sharing the same forms of DNA. In fact, the DNA will be very, very only slightly different to one another.
What
usually
I meant
as
was,
well, the blood types will be the same.
What I meant was that a person starts out as one person and then a trauma happens and so they split into two bodies. Originally there was just one body.
No, that would not be the case. My dear friend, what you have to remember is the fact that at the point of conception, there would be a situation where your spirit and the other person's spirit would actually be and joined at the point of conception of the physical state. So it is always going to be those two individual spirits in that situation. Now, if it was, my dear friend, that you feel that the situation may be close to you quite simply because you feel such a part of the other twin, I am saying this metaphorically, of course, that as can so often happen because your spirits are so close and the relationship is so close to you, not just in physical reality, but in the spirit world as well. It actually means to say that the love between you is so, it's as though there is no gap between you. That is why you feel that perhaps if there is one aspect of a twin which actually passes, that you feel as though it's a part of you that's passed. But quite simply, it isn't. It's just because of the fact that that spirit was so pure and simply from your soul group, and that was why it feels like a personal loss, like you actually experienced that situation happening to yourself.
Oh, okay, so you don't believe that a person can split into two people from trauma then?
No, I don't believe it. I know it is not a fact.
Okay.
There are other differences and other situations which are at work there, my dear friend. It is
okay,
to do with
the...
Yes, it is to do with the situation of proximity. Now,
okay.
The situation, dear friend, of proximity is due to the fact that you're a physical being and that in the spirit world it doesn't quite relate in the same way. So the things that you may experience as a person in that situation is the case of proximity because of the fact that you are a physical being and you're observing it not as a spirit.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan.
I hope that has cleared it up for you. My dear friend, please do get back to us if there is something that is still puzzling you.
Okay. Okay, I will be getting back to you then. Okay,
yes, please
you.
Do not feel bashful. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, so, where were we? Yes, right, so basically I said about your mother, didn't I? We did a little journey into the realms of...
well, just slightly.
Yes.
Yes.
Into slightly more evolved situations, shall we say.
Yes.
So... now shall we go back to where you were?
So where I was...
With your mother.
Yes. So I in a sense, I had a query in my mind. And at the same time that I had a query, my mother, Alicia, merely just soothed me and said, it's all right, you're going to come with me now. And we just suddenly were not there any present anymore. We were not of that place or vibration.
Did she hold your hand?
In a sense, she was embracing me. I felt her all around me, as though I was a small being again. Just like a child. And I felt her auric field had completely enveloped me. And as I moved, I appeared to move, and I had an impression of movement, and it appeared to be as though we were actually traversing time itself. It seemed as though there was no time and yet a great deal of distance had been covered.
But you didn't see any scenery?
But I didn't appear to see any scenery because I was just in this apparent state of bliss, I suppose you could say.
Hello, caller?
Hello. Hi, Sylvie. How are you doing?
Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, Finn.
Oh, very good. Hi, Gregory.
Hello, Finn. Hello.
I have a very abstract question. Gregory, could you try describing something to us from the other side that we could barely comprehend, but something that would be very amazing to us?
Well, yes, let me see now. I suppose I could paint to you the picture of when I had actually walked into the halls of learning. I'm just jumping ahead a little bit here. But I moved into the halls of learning on my own after my mother left me at the doorway. And the things that I saw and what I observed are as follows, this picture that I paint. As I moved into the hallway, there was a large notice above a very long desk which seemed to stretch as far as I could see in each direction. as the building appeared to open out without walls. And the desk, and the sign above the desk was, "Welcome to the Halls of Information." And as I viewed this, there was a, in a sense, an air of silence. And yet I could hear rustling and speaking in different tongues, all at the same time, but in like they were silent whispers. And as I viewed, I strained my eyes in one direction to my right, trying to see the end of the desk that I could see. And I could see no beings in front of it on the other side of it, although I could see there were some energies which appeared to be present on my side of the desk. And as I looked into the distance, I tried to see where the desk ended. And there appeared to be these vast walls which then stretched for as far as I could see, stretched in all directions and went all the way up into something that I could only just barely make as a form of ceiling. And it appeared to be a kind of ceiling that had frescoes upon it, paintings, beautiful paintings of different beings, both human and non-human, of animals and birds and plants and flowers and of insects and all different kinds of things, creatures that were the mass of the world, but yet many of them I had never seen before. And as I viewed this, I also noticed as well, looking at the walls, that it was as though they had this effervescent light which came from them, of stones that appeared to move as I looked upon them. The light which shone around each and every one appeared as this beautiful, soft blue light. And this soft blue light was what lit the entire building. Of everything that I saw, I could see this soft blue light, and it appeared to make a kind of white light in the middle of the hall. And as I looked past and beyond the desk of the Halls of Information, I could see many rows of aisles, and there appeared to be different situations and sensations that were happening. It went on for mile after mile. It was the most strange yet wondrous sight I had never before beheld. And it is something which always sticks upon my mind, as that would be the journey of my remembrance, of my greatest moment, in a sense, as a spirit being, coming upon the halls of learning and trying just to cope with the vast scope of the mass of that state of mine, as I tried to absorb it into that of my diminutive mind that I had at that time. And as I was looking and observing, I saw too that there were these beautiful energies that appeared to move at will from one place to another place. And as they did so, some of them actually seemed to attract another energy or another light. And there were small insects as well that actually appeared to be showing various energies where to go. And these insects had lights upon them and within them. And they glowed and showed the way to various beings who appeared to wander up large staircases and that kind of thing. It was a place set on many, many levels, and the further up I strained my neck to see from my place in a humble state as I was, I marveled at the whole situation of scenario between myself and this situation that I saw. I could see that there were meetings taking place between beings I could not see. Yet I knew they were there because there was a vibration of color and light, a slight purple yet pink, which appeared to be moving around an orbital center energy, which appeared to move and pulsate and explode at times within a myriad of energy and then suddenly be concentrated again into the mixture of what it was that was beholding that fascination. I observed as well as books of a like I had never seen before, that the monks, the Benedictine monks who had taught me in my youth, had shown me books, but they were of a stark nature of paper and rice paper and that kind of thing, and woven cloth covers. But these were nothing like that. These were large volumes of books which appeared to move under their own volition. And as I saw them, as I watched in absolute awe, that it appeared that books appeared to open themselves and digest their contents, to diverge their contents to those energies which were observing them. And some of the books just came to life right in front of my eyes. I marveled at every moment, and I believe that I was there for some time before some being at the desk finally materialized in front of me, and I appeared to be drawn to them. And they said, "Ah, Master Gregory, you are here at last."
Very good.
That's a fascinating story. Do you know who those people were that were there?
Well, there were many, my dear friend. I know them as... one of them was a Master Olaf. And he was a very sure character of Norman stock, I understand. And he actually had passed many hundreds of years previously. He actually was a being who was of a very large build, and yet he had such a big, wide, friendly face and smile, almost like a Father Christmas.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thanks, John.
Yes, you are welcome, friend.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay. Bye now.
Yes, bye-bye. Yes. So before that, just before you got to the doors of the Halls of Learning...
Yes.
Can you describe... Right, okay, well, we've just had a description of what happened when you walked in.
Yes.
But your mother took you to the entrance to the Halls of Learning. What did that look like?
Yes, it was just a door, actually, in a... it was actually between two trees. And there appeared to be not any distance. I couldn't see any building or anything.
Mm-hmm.
There just appeared to be this door. The point is, though, that she said that I needed to go into this place to learn... because I had a job to do, and that she said that this was a good job that they had given me, and that but it was still my choice of whether to take it or not, and that she said that this would also lead me into a part of my life which I would remember once I was there. She was referring to the life that I had before I was physical.
Mm-hmm.
Before I became Gregory Hay.
Mm-hmm.
And she assured me that I would meet up again with that aspect of my life. I couldn't understand it, really. So I said, "Well, why aren't you coming with me?" And she said, "Well, no, this is a matter and a journey for you. But I will see you when you wish of it, and when we both wish of it. When we want to meet and have tea, or when we want to meet and talk and laugh and smile and remember the situation that we had, briefly as it was in physical life, and also catch up far more off life now,"
mm-hmm.
"then that was something that we could do too." But she stressed the fact that the journey that I was to make was of much and great importance, and that it was that I needed to concentrate and really blend with that moment of the situation that would be revealed to me. She said I would also be taken eventually to a place that I would remember of my previous journey that was a real feeling of home. Not like the sort of home, she said, that we had at Swaffham, near Swaffham, at West House, but in actual fact, a place that was really much more beautiful than that.
And you did get taken to this place?
I did eventually, yes.
Well, you can tell us about that another week.
That's another story, yes.
Yes, but we've still got a few minutes left.
Yes.
3 or 4 minutes.
So what then happened was I said, well, very well then. Now, upon the door, as I looked at it, and I remember that my eyes were then suddenly taken to the door, and it had this, in a sense, it was a face, but and it had a knocker upon it as well. And I went to touch this knocker, which appeared to be a large brass ring that came down for a man's nose.
Okay.
And it came down from this large nose that appeared in the center of the door, and just as I began to take a hold of it, the door just opened.
It's so Harry Potter, isn't it?
So Harry Potter, Fred.
It is, yes. Yes, never mind, you carry on.
Oh, I understand, that is a
J.K. Rowling.
Yes, a book.
I mean, you know, what was she in touch with?
Well, I'll tell you about that another day.
Okay.
So the situation then became that I felt myself moving along this hallway. And as I moved along the hallway, it appeared to be as though it moved in an upward direction, and I climbed, and then it seemed to move over a hump and then downward and slightly round to the right, and it was as though I was walking along a long tube. Yet I was walking but not walking. I felt as though I was walking in the same remembrance of my conscious mind that walking was about. I remembered from my physical life. Ah, yes, I thought, I'm walking. And yet I wasn't. I didn't feel the up and down, the movement of walking. I didn't feel the contact of the earth. And yet I felt it. It was as though it was a memory, and yet it was not in relation to the actual presence of now.
Wow.
And then I came upon it. As most suddenly as it had begun, the tube in which I was walking, which had a blue effervescence to it, a sort of a translucent energy, which appeared to be vibrating and calling to me, as though it was humming and singing of a sweet note all at the same time, like a mantra or a beautiful hymn, like the sounds of voices, all singing in unison and yet making up the chord of life. And as I brought myself to this place, it opened up right before my eyes, and there I saw it. The whole of information.
Okay, well, we're going to leave it there for this week, and the listeners and me will have to wait until next Monday for the next installment. That's been really fascinating. Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, may blessings ever be upon your path.
Thank you. Okay, well, for those who live in the Portland area, we are actually going to be at on Friday, September the 28th, the Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces, we're going to be doing a workshop, an introductory workshop, where you'll be able to meet us and see Gregory, meet Gregory as well. That's Friday, September the 28th. That's between 7 and 9 p.m. That's 2426 Northeast Broadway, 503-528-1430. But you can get details on our site, www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more about that, or maybe book yourself an Akashic reading, or just have a browse through our site. There's lots of information on it. Anyway, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for our callers, and do join us again, maybe Thursday as well as Monday. Okay, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.